Welcome to the Outsource Accelerator podcast. This is a short format podcast where we explore business and outsourcing mastery. My name is Derek Gallimore, and I am really excited to bring you the leading podcast in outsourcing. Hi, and welcome back, everybody. This is episode number 243. Today, I am being interviewed by Ron Batong of the Hustle Share podcast. So this is a repost of his podcast that aired a couple of weeks ago now. Hustle Share is a podcast about startups in the Philippine economy. And so I'm super excited to be invited on his podcast. And we discuss, obviously, my ups and downs in business, my entire background in business and entrepreneurship. And then, of course, we get on to outsourcing and Outsource Accelerator. So it's a really good podcast. Certainly, I enjoyed the process, and I hope you will enjoy something too. And, of course, learn about the outsourcing environment and community that we're in here in the Philippines. So enjoy. If you want any of the show notes, then go to outsourceaccelerator.com/243. The next wave of outsourcing is for the small and medium-sized businesses, and they're hustlers, they're scrappy, they're startups like us. And you cannot automate a startup because it's figuring out its own way as it goes.
Welcome to Hustle Share, the podcast that features the daily grinds of unique hustlers around the world to show not our differences, but that our hustles are very much alike. Now here's your host, Ronster Bae Pyong.
Welcome to episode 25 of the Hustle Share podcast. My name is Ronster, and I'm your host. And this episode is brought to you by Payroll Hero, a time, attendance, scheduling, HR, and payroll solution for Philippine companies. If you are new to this podcast, welcome to the show. Hustle Share is a podcast that lets you learn from other hustlers by listening to them. And the way we do that is we dissect every single thing that we do on our journeys and our grinds and everything else in between. And we veer away from the humble brags that we do on social media. But I'd like to give you a heads up because we use adult language in here. So if there's a lot of expletives, please make sure that there's no kids around. Now, this episode is very interesting because we're going to highlight our biggest industry, which is the BPO sector. And to discuss that, we will have Mr. Derek Gallimore, the founder and CEO of Outsource Accelerator, to discuss the hustle of a BPO marketplace. Now, Derek's going to be sharing a lot of insights with us on what he thinks is the opportunity for a lot of the BPO companies that they can take advantage of, considering that what he thinks is that there's a next wave of BPO outsourcing that's going to happen in this industry. And he's also going to discuss why a marketplace or a BPO marketplace is vital to bridging that gap of businesses in the West and having the BPO boom here in the Philippines. Other than that, he's also going to be sharing a lot of his personal tips on how he bounced back from a failed business and the learnings he learned from that experience. And lastly, Derek is also going to be sharing what he thinks is the future for the BPO industry and many more. So if you're ready to learn the hustle of a BPO marketplace, let's begin this episode right now. Welcome to the latest episode of the Hustle Share podcast. We are back after the elections. The rubble has now set in, and guess what, guys? We got to grind again because whatever happened in that election still means shit if you don't hustle. And today's guest is all about that word, hustle. And we're going to be talking to Derek Gallimore of Outsource Accelerator. Derek, welcome to the show.
Hey, Ron. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having the time to drop by the, we call it the Hustle Share Studios, but to be honest, it's just Chatbot PH conference room.
Yeah, for sure. It's amazing here. I'm loving your office.
Right. So again, Derek, I always ask this from our guests and whatnot. What's your hustle?
Yeah, so I am leading the outsourcing market, bringing a marketplace to Philippines outsourcing.
Got it.
So I am all about outsourcing and promoting Philippines to the world.
Okay, when you say outsourcing, that can be a very broad spectrum. And let's call a spade a spade.
Mm.
The biggest industry that this country has is the BPO industry, which is business process outsourcing. What about outsourcing what about outsourcing that's really enticing for you, and why did you start in this career?
Yeah, well, that's exactly why I'm going after this industry and helping support promote this industry, because it is the single biggest industry in the Philippines. It's 11% of the GDP, employs 1.2 million people, and is about $24 billion in revenues. But there's no aggregator platform for this sector, unlike almost any sector in the world. And I believe that the outsourcing can be better promoted if there's an aggregator platform to help businesses in the West learn about outsourcing.
Absolutely. And there's little knowledge about it. I mean, from a personal standpoint, there's also, aside from the outsourcing market, there's also the freelance market, right? That I personally myself was a freelancer at one point when I first started Chatbot BH. The thing that paid the bills for me, because I couldn't afford to pay myself salary, was freelancing. But before that, Derek, let's ride this. I haven't said this in a while. Let's ride the Hustle Share time machine. So shout out to those people who'd want to see. By the way, very soon we'll be having Hustle Share swag. And you'll now see what the fuck the Hustle Share time machine looks like on a t-shirt. But Derek, how did you start your career? And I just want to know, you're originally from where?
Yeah, so I mean, my story, I was born in the UK, but raised in New Zealand.
Then
as an adult, I lived in Sydney and also London and now here. So I'm used to moving around a little
bit. Any territory that basically the Queen has.
For sure. Yeah. Apart from Manila.
All right, sounds good. Okay, but from that point, what was your first foray into your career? So I'm literally reading your LinkedIn right now.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in business about 20 years. I've always been entrepreneurial.
Okay.
I got into property in central London when I was about 24, and then I built a service department company, bootstrapped that, built that to about 20 million revenues. And that's the reason why I came over to the Philippines, because we needed a 24/7 service center to support the hospitality industry that I built.
Now, did you build a call center from the get-go, or did you hire a call center or whatnot?
No, so we were using a BPO, and we built our own team. And then eventually, with about 50 staff, we went captive and built that up to about 70, 80 staff here in Manila.
And what happened to that BPO?
Well, we closed that down because of a lot of margin compression. So that that was certainly part of my entrepreneurial journey, part of the entrepreneurial roller coaster. But because of my experiences in that, super valuable, and it led me towards this next endeavor, which is the outsourcing.
So walk us through Outsource Accelerator. All right. So you mentioned earlier that, you know, there's a big gap over discovering all this talent and also matching it with the proper companies and whatnot. What's the problem, aside from that Accelerator is doing? Because you're saying here in your LinkedIn that you're helping save 70% on staff costs, transform your business, and outperform the competition. What are the costs of a business without the proper outsourcing? I mean, from a Western point of view.
Well, look, I think every business in the West should outsource. Hands down, it is one of the most powerful tools in business today, yet only about 0.5% of the businesses, of small and medium-sized businesses in the West, outsource. And the reason why they don't is because they don't have awareness of outsourcing. Mm. And if they are aware of it, they don't quite know how it works. Now, there's, of course, the Tim Ferriss freelancer kind of model, but I encourage businesses to explore more permanent type of outsourcing, which is, I believe, higher quality, more reliable, and also maybe suitable for the slightly bigger businesses.
Got it. Now, in terms of getting an outsourcing company to work with you, what Without you guys, how was that experience for you looking for that? Were you scratching and clawing? Of course, we're privileged because we have a network, right? If you're an SME in the West, of course, again, natural progression, you're going to Google and whatnot. Now, with that, without you guys, how difficult is it for them to get the proper company to work with?
Yeah, well, that's exactly it, Ron. I am amazed that this industry, this is one of the only industries in the world where the suppliers are in one country and the consumers are in another country. Wow. And there is currently no marketplace to help those consumers learn about and explore outsourcing. So it is really hard. You know, you just type in outsourcing into Google and then you're presented with individual BPOs. And they're, of course, going to sell their own product. So we came out with a marketplace. It's a little bit like a TripAdvisor for outsourcing to help people search and explore and read and compare and review BPO suppliers here.
Now, on the BPO side, I mean, the supply side, right? How do you vet them? Because there's a gazillion of them out here.
Yeah.
Right?
There's about 800, I reckon.
Wow. Yeah. And these are just the bigger ones. There's smaller, whatever ones that they're not, they're like flying under the radar, right? In stealth mode and whatnot. How do you vet which ones are worthy to work with?
Yeah, I mean, we obviously do a verification process.
Okay.
We list about 700 outsourcing suppliers on our website. Okay. It's by far the most comprehensive listing out there.
Okay.
We also share information with IBPAP and the associations.
Right, right.
And then, so we have a three-stage verification process. We have we try and list as many BPOs as we can. And then there's also Source Pro and Source Partner to aid.
You mentioned the three-step verification process. Can you share with us what those processes? Because again, I can just say, hey, I have a chatbot business. We're technically outsourcing because we have offshore accounts. But does that count? What are those three things that you look for in a business? I mean, in a BPO.
Yeah, no, it's a fantastic question because the issue that you suggest there, all of the consumers in the West are faced by the same thing. They're like, can we trust this? You know, it's just a website, you know. They're never going to come over here to visit, or likely not. We use a number of methods. Now, there's a lot of opacity in the industry.
Right.
We obviously get people to tell us how many seats they have. We look at their website. We look at the quality of the business. We look to see whether they're registered here.
Okay.
Of course, we list a lot more than that, but once they're verified, then we can verify that they're of good quality.
Okay, so now walk me through the process of, say, I'm with Outsource Accelerator, right? And I've gone to your website and whatnot. How easy is it now? And where how do you guys enable me as a business owner to get that? What's the process like?
Yeah, it's really just a place to go to hang out. I mean, provide about 5,000 pages of content. We've got about 4,000 articles. We've got hundreds of videos. We actually have a podcast as well.
Oh, so okay.
We've got 230 episodes on there.
What?
We just provide as
what
much.
What podcast is
this?
Yeah,
no, it's, what? It's, well, you know, it's very industry specific. So
got it.
It's
so what's it called? It's just a shout out. We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, would you know? It's called the Outsource Accelerator Podcast.
And Outsource Accelerator
incredible,
Podcast.
Huh?
Wow, this is the first time, to be honest, that I've encountered someone that with a podcast on the Hustle Share podcast.
A fellow podcaster.
Here you go, fist bump on that one. That's awesome.
Yeah, so we're just trying to provide a huge amount of information for people so that they can make the best decision possible.
Got it.
And we want to make browsing, discovery, exploration, and then also engagement easy for clients.
Got it. Now, after you've chosen, say, one or two, do we shortlist or do you pick one, like add to cart and bridge? Of course, there's got to be something for you, right? As the middleman there, right? I mean, without delving too much, what's in it for you in your business model to get this done? And how can you prevent other accelerators or whatever to easily replicate?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. So look, the complexity with a service marketplace is that services are complex. You know, they're ongoing, they're high value, they are not finite. It's not like buying a book on Amazon where you know what you're getting. So there is a lot of complexity there. And I think that's why a marketplace has never been built before. But this is holding the entire industry back.
Okay.
If we simplify it for the consumers and make it easier for them to navigate, then there's going to be a lot more engagement. And I believe that there will be another 30 million jobs being outsourced in the next 15 to 20 years.
30 million.
It's going to go big. It's going to go really big. There's going to be a tipping point. So there's only 1.2 million employed now, and I believe that'll 30x over the next 20 years in terms of small and medium sized businesses outsourcing.
That is crazy.
It's huge. Yeah,
yeah. And again, I think I've said it in a couple of episodes already. I always tip my hat to the outsourcing or the BPO industry because I started there. That's my first job ever. The reason I speak this way is because I had to learn how to speak English this way. And through going through hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of calls, I eventually perfected it to the point that I sound natural already. But I did not sound like this. I sound like this Joseph and whatnot. Oh, what? That's how it is. But as an edge, people that went through here, I've known so many guys that started out at the call center, and there's no shame in it, to be honest. We started out there, but we're now killing it in whatever we're doing it on the outside. Now, Derek, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to do a deep dive now on the BPO industry and why let's look at both sides of the market, because it's not all rainbows and butterflies, right? There's always deep shit in it. And I want to talk to you about that based on your experience and whatnot, to talk about the nitty-gritty of BPO and then outsourcing and whatnot. More of that after the break. Hey hustlers, let's talk about something really important real quick. Something that a lot of you I know can relate to, especially if you're running a business. And I'm talking about payroll. You know how hard it is and time consuming this is, especially that you have to do it twice a month. And as a guy who's been running tech startups for over 10 years now, this is something that I did not enjoy doing at all. It's not like it's because I don't like paying my employees. No, but it's already hard looking for funding to fund for your payroll, and then it's so much more harder if you're doing this manually. Luckily, I've found something that I highly recommend that you try, and it's from our friends from Payroll Hero. And here's how Payroll Hero works. They use your employee's face as your primary biometric to avoid buddy punching and ghost employees. So unless your team can figure out a way to swap each other's faces, tracking time and performance will never be your problem again. Payroll Hero is also very consumer friendly because it's also based on web and mobile, and it's also cloud-based, so you never have to worry about your clunky old biometric machines. So now you can automate time, attendance, scheduling, HRIS, and a payroll platform wrap all in one. We have a very special bonus for you hustlers listening on the Hustle Share podcast. All you need to do is go to www.payrollhero.ph and use the promo code HustleShare to get a 60-day free trial. That's technically 4 payrolls that you can do all for free, so you can see how it works for you. And the beauty about it is there's no upfront payment needed to do this. So never worry about payroll again. With Payroll Hero, optimizing work productivity with happiness. And we're back from the break. We're still with Derek Gallimore of Outsource Accelerator. I'm checking out your website, Derek, and you guys have a lot of stuff here already. And you can go as low as $29 a month.
Yeah, that's for Source Coach. So we're not actually the outsourcers. We actually provide advisory and guidance for people that want to outsource.
And what do they get for a Source Coaching? I mean, you have it all here, but for people who don't have the ability to look at the website now, what do they get?
Yeah, so we offer a range of services that basically helps people get into outsourcing. Source Coach is our entry-level product. It's only $29 a month. But in essence, we can help people navigate the outsourcing market and help get them the best prices possible, the best outputs possible, the best results possible, the best teams possible, and find the best facilities possible.
Is it fair to say that it's like a headhunter for BPOs, sort of, or no?
Yeah, I mean, it's more like booking.com for BPOs. So it helps people navigate the market, and then we can help them implement outsourcing into
their business.
So you don't
get lost along the way, and then you say, ah, you know, I tried this shit before. Wasn't good. Yeah. So you don't want to have that happen. But okay, this part, Derek, is where we do a deep dive.
And right? So let's go.
This is BPO, again, this is our lifeblood. There's only two big, three. The first one is BPO here in the Philippines, are that really make our economy grow. The second one is the overseas Filipinos to send money back. Mm. You know, our country is afloat because of that. And lastly, of course, the manufacturing and whatnot. And there's still a lot of turmoil now and whatnot. We just recently had an elections and a lot of people are unhappy. Again, it's two sides of a coin. How does that affect what you guys are doing, given that there's this a lot of tension now with how the Philippines is from the West's point of view? Because, you know, we all know that it's only a question of India or the Philippines, right, in terms of outsourcing. But how would that affect us now, given this political turmoil that's happening?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. The outsourcing is the golden goose now for the Philippines.
Yeah.
They're now calling them OFWs as well, online Filipino workers. Mm-hmm. And it enables even the OFWs to have highly paid professionalized jobs, but in their home country so that they can now come home. Outsourcing is incredibly valuable for the Philippines, but there's now a lot of narrative around it being a sunset industry. You know, AI, chatbots is going to knock out the whole thing. And so there's sort of a bit of doom and gloom about the industry. Mm-hmm. But my narrative is that this industry has only just begun, and there is a second wave coming of small and medium-sized businesses outsourcing.
Correct.
And this is going to 30X, and this could transform the Philippines.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, if you look at the pyramid, okay, they're the top 1,000 or whatever 1,000 that's up in there are the ones that are paying outsourcing. Now, eventually, when those graduate into more automated jobs because here's what people don't understand, and I'll share this from a personal standpoint. You know, people always like, hey, Ron, your main hustle is Chatbot PH. Aren't you guys doing this to eliminate jobs? No. What we're doing is we're actually eliminating redundant and repetitive tasks that people do that, you know, for human intellect, it's a waste for them to do that. So now with that free time, now they can do things. And it's weird because as we do that too, there's going to be new opportunities that will come. So for example, in our company in Chatbot, I'm not trying to advertise, I'm just trying to tell the truth here. There's new types of jobs that we created. So now there is things called AI trainers.
They're not,
people are like, what an AI trainer, Ron? Huh? What is that? So basically an AI trainer is not what people who, it's not an AI that will train you, nah. It's people training the AI for it to be smarter. Because the only way the AI can get smarter is through exposing it to different types of data. And as much as we want to get the AI now to learn on its own, we're not at that point yet. We're in its infancy, probably even grade school. But it will take time. And in order for that technology to be properly executed down the road, it would need a lot of human supervision.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely. Look, I think AI is a long, long way away. And also, you know, when 1,000 people in a room are doing the same task, that is ripe for automation and efficiency. But the next wave of outsourcing is for the small and medium-sized businesses. And they're hustlers. They're scrappy. They're startups like us. And you cannot automate a startup because it's figuring out its own way as it goes. So actually, the next wave is far more resilient to this concern about AI and automation than the existing wave of outsourcing where there's 1,000 people in one room doing the same task.
But wouldn't that be a little volatile, though? Because, I mean, we all know that startups, 90% of startups die. Right? Mm. I mean, from a outsourcing point of view, okay, as long as y'all get paid, then no problem. But of course, you want longevity too. Wouldn't that be a risk that the SMEs don't have the same runway as a big corporate?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, there's a whole spectrum to the market. So we're not necessarily talking about startups. The small and medium-sized sector could be up to, you know, 200 staff, 200 million revenues. They're really quite significant businesses. The worldwide, they contribute about 100 million employees. It's about 12 trillion US in revenues and employ about 60% of the workforce.
It's the middle class, technically. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the majority of society, actually. Right. And the big guys, the big boys have been outsourcing for 20, 25 years now. And previously, the small guys have been excluded. And only now they're able to access the market, but they're not aware of it. So we've got to make them aware of the opportunities in outsourcing.
Right.
And then, you know, we're going to hit a tipping point and people are going to start outsourcing.
That's absolutely true. Like in adaption of chatbots, right? The first couple, we started out 2017 or late 2016. First ones are the early adapters. These are the ones with the big guns. Like, I'll make it rain. I don't know what I'm paying for, but I like it. Mm. I'll go up front. And then after that wave, then comes the masses. And now we're trying to make bank on that because everybody's like, all right, we're no longer the guinea pig. They survived. We'll follow, right? It's like crossing the Red Sea. Like, okay, he made it on the other side. Okay, we'll follow. He's good. So it's the same now with outsourcing. And that's the vision that you see here and whatnot. Now, in terms of the challenges in terms of a BPO operators, I mean, okay, it's your job to match them and navigate through all the crevices and meanders and whatnot. It's always hard to maintain a good quality. It's a service. No matter how good you operate, it's still human beings. And you know, it's a double-edged sword. There's always quality issues. There's high churn in whatnot, and KPIs are hard. How do you manage your expectations of clients, given that this is the reality of the game here?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is why we offer a lot of advisory. And when you get into outsourcing, it's almost a bit like management consultancy because you're diving into a person's business and you are helping them basically better their business, you know, and that pulls from management, you know, theories, that pulls from organizational theories. Mm-hmm. It pulls from a lot of skills. Outsourcing itself is a solid industry. I don't need to tell outsourcing how to be good at what it does. Philippine outsourcing is the best in the world at it. We are trying to brand it more as the Swiss banking of outsourcing and get people realizing that this is really a top quality product.
Right.
And in fact, you get a lot of businesses come over here thinking that they're from the West, they know how to do everything, and then they are blown away by the level of sophistication here.
We're
the
experts in this and
absolutely
already.
Absolutely, incredible.
Right.
But having said that, you know, and often it's the client or the account themselves that needs the training. This is how you outsource. This is how you delegate. This is how you process map. This is how you run KPIs.
Right.
So that effectively, you know, it's a smooth transition and they then know how to outsource. So we really hold their hand and help
them develop
their outsourcing integration.
Awesome. Now, in terms of, again, all the BPOs who are experts, and they're all experts in their own field, well, are now gunning for the same clients, and they're going to go to you and whatnot. How do they promote that now before Outsource Accelerator? Because again, it's a battle. It's a very saturated market, right? And you mentioned around 800 of them.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of competition, right?
Yeah.
Here in the chatbot game, there's like a good handful or two that are really legit, and then there's a ton. They're a small time, they're going after the big crowd. But for us, there's still a lot of, and this is what I always tell my peers. Right? I don't call them my competitors, they're my peers. Mm-hmm. We're the same fish in the same ocean. But at the end of the day, there's enough kelp, there's enough krill for us to eat. We don't need to be predatory towards each other. We can survive and co-inhabit the same coral reef or whatnot. For outsourcing, now they promote their own shit. Some are cutthroat. So how do you balance that out with what do you would you guys do now?
Yeah, look, the BPOs have a really hard job ahead of them. As I said, this industry is one of the only industries in the world where the suppliers are sitting here in the Philippines and all of the customers are sitting in the US, the UK, right. Europe. And the vast majority of them have no idea what outsourcing is. They have no idea even where the Philippines is. Mm. And what they know about the Philippines is maybe, you know, controversial. It's a developing economy.
So, that precedent. That's what it is.
So the BPOs have their work really cut out for them. And this is where they need an aggregator marketplace, something like Booking.com for outsourcing. Right. And that is where we come in to help promote the Philippines to the world and show businesses out there in the West that outsourcing is available to them and it's not as hard or as scary as they think.
Got it. Now, in terms of the business model, right? So, okay, you said there's $29 a month. There's a couple more tiers here. For $1,299 or $1,299, what do they get on the next tier?
Yeah, so these are just our productized advisory packages. We're trying to make them simple so that people can, you know, click and engage quickly. We want to make outsourcing as simple as possible to engage in. So we provide simple pricing, simple products. With the $1,300 package, we basically sit them down, we do a needs analysis, we look at their business, their org chart, their strategic plan, and we map out for them the best approach for outsourcing. Okay. We teach them about outsourcing, the different types of service provision, and help them select and implement outsourcing into their business.
Got it. Now, in terms of the supply chain, supply side, how many do you guys have already? Just a lot. I'm just looking at it now.
Yeah, so we have the most comprehensive directory. It's got about 688. You know, we have a huge amount of information. We're obviously still gathering.
Oh, Sterling Global is here. Look at that.
Yeah, and right. Sterling's here, yeah.
What's up? Yeah, Shout out, Sterling.
And we do video BPO tours. We do expert interviews with the owners and senior management. As I said, we do podcasts with the owners as well. So it's all just flooding the world with information about outsourcing so it can basically build comfort levels, awareness, and sort of they know how to do it and can onboard.
Now, it's not all fun and games, Derek. And we know this, right? what are your challenges here in Outsource Accelerator? What do you think would be the biggest dragon you have to slay?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, as you know, I'm sure marketplaces are difficult to build because they're these big flywheels and it's difficult to get these flywheels moving. We have fantastic supply, but what we are finding is that the world is still unaware of outsourcing. You know, I was in New York in January and highly sophisticated business people still had no clue what outsourcing was.
In New York City.
How it worked. Absolutely.
What?
And this is the realization that you know, this is a gold mine here. Once we get people educated about the opportunities of a globalized workforce, which ultimately outsourcing is.
How do you challenge? I mean, do you literally go from, how do you evangelize this? Because we had the same challenge in Chatbot VH, right? Mm. A lot of people didn't know what the hell what we were talking about. Like, what's a chat box, Ron?
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's not a chat box. It's a chat bot. It's like a robot for chatting. Oh, so what's a chat box? It's not a chat box. Right, that's why I cut my hair this way because I started pulling them out and whatnot. I'm like, oh, God. Right, but for you guys, I mean, what do you think are the things that are working for you to get this? You're technically like evangelizing religion out there.
Yeah. So look, we are sort of single-handedly promoting Philippines and outsourcing. Yeah,
thank
we
you.
Want to take it to the world. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, we've got 5,000 pages of content. We've got hundreds of videos, podcasts, and it's not because I like writing or, you know, and it's even quite a boring subject, but I think it needs to get out there. And the way that people will learn about this is through just reading stuff, getting comfortable with it. But, you know, we're doing the vast majority of what we do is digital. We need to get our digital footprint out there. We need to get it on Facebook and YouTube. Mm-hmm. And then so also when people are typing in, you know, outsourcing Philippines, that they're met with a large body of content so that they figure out how to do this. You know, a lot of people that have heard of outsourcing have heard about the Tim Ferriss freelancer kind of thing.
Yes.
It's good in a way, but we want to sort of professionalize it and show the world that there is this incredibly sophisticated market out there. Look, not dissing the freelancers and Upwork. That's an incredible industry. And, you know, again, the Filipinos are doing the world proud in what they're doing there.
Correct. It's just, again, it's two pages of the same book, same skill set, to be honest. It's just a matter of how you want to be. Do you want to be represented by a big company? Because the thing with freelancing too versus outsourcing, freelancing can be very volatile. Anytime I've experienced that the client just says, all right, we're done. And I'm, what? What am I going to do? You know, I own my time, but the stability that it does not provide is scary as fuck. Sorry for lack of better terms.
Yeah, for sure. And it's getting harder. Like, it's hard for people to get on the Upwork platform.
Yeah, Upwork now has payments and whatnot because they've gone IPO. That's why there's smaller ones who are popping left and right. However, they don't provide the same amount of quality and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah. And there's no job security. There's no HMO. Right. You know, there's not a lot of sort of tax and, you know, so it's not a great industry for people. And I think that as the outsourcing industry broadens, I think it can cater better for more of the population.
Correct. Again, it's the same book. It's a different page. And absolutely. You just kind of pick your own point.
Because actually, if you take it to an extreme, I really think outsourcing freelancing is really just employment. And as the world globalizes, we're going to be moving away from regionalized geographical employment to just one world globalized employment. And that's when the Philippines will really shine because there's incredibly skilled people here, incredibly well-qualified people here. Right. You know, and that's when it will be able to shine.
Absolutely. Now, Derek, let's take a quick break again. And when we come back, it's Hustle and Share time, where we're going to be asking you a lot of tips and tricks and how to navigate and how to be able to navigate the outsourcing world and all your personal tips as well. And more of that after the break.
Effective automation is the best way for businesses to stay competitive. And having a chatbot for your business lets you easily automate and optimize sales, marketing, and customer service in the digital age. Chatbot PH will build, train, maintain, and market your chatbot across all messaging platforms. Our team uses the latest AI technologies to enable you to better serve customers 24/7, 365. Set a meeting with us today. Message us now at m.me/chatbotph.
And we're back for the final part of the Hustle Share podcast. We're still with Derek Gallimore of Outsource Accelerator. Now, Derek, it's Hustle Share time, right? And I want to learn a lot from your perspective because when did you move out here?
I've been here about 5 years now.
Okay. Prior to this, what was your perspective of the Philippines to go here?
Yeah, well, I first got my staff about 8 years ago. Before that, I really had no idea about the Philippines, and most people don't. It's off the radar.
Really?
Yeah, but now it's improving now. You see that in terms of tourism. There's a lot more people coming here, backpackers and things.
Right, right.
And it's now getting on people's...
No, I mean, because geographically, it's also like not in the chain. It's like in if you're in Southeast Asia by the archipelago or the peninsulas and whatnot, you can literally backpack from Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand, Malaysia, Indonesia. It's a land travel.
Yeah, for sure.
So here, you'll have to literally fly in because unless you want to swim, then you're...
I think it's one of the best kept secrets, obviously, and that's why I'm here. But it's, you know, I think that it is held back a little bit because it is so many islands and it's really difficult to build infrastructure when you've got 7,000 islands to cross. So I do feel for it, but it makes for great island holidays, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. You just pick your poison and whatever you want to get, right? But it's all going to be tropical and whatnot.
For sure.
Now, from that point of view, before you went here, how did you do your hustle in terms of building? I'm very curious about this one part of your journey. You were the owner of CityMark. What was CityMark, and what are the things that you learned in that journey? Because you ran this for a while, 2009 to 2016.
Yeah, it was about, 7-8 years. And, right. and that was, as I mentioned, the corporate housing or service departments. And I bootstrapped that. I was really proud of that business. I bootstrapped that up to about 20 million revenues. We had about 80, 90 staff.
Wow.
In across both London and Philippines, and we had about 250 service departments in central London. But you know, I obviously like lived extreme highs in that business, but right. also went through some extreme lows.
What were those lows? I'm just curious because
I mean, we had to close that business down, which was very painful for me, of course.
Amen. I know that.
Yeah, and but you know,
the latest episode, if you've the one the before this, I came clean with my former investor.
Ooh.
My former investor.
Wow. Like
that was
confession.
Tough. Like, I was holding back tears.
Right.
The one with Minette Navarrete of Kickstart was right. Globe. And we went back to what those meetings were, what that feeling was. So I understand.
Yeah. It's a tough, you know, it's a really tough thing. But some businesses just, you know, don't succeed. But I learned a huge amount. You know, and funnily enough, I learned some significant things and also saw the power of Booking.com and the platforms that they had over my business in hospitality then.
Right.
And you know, I took those lessons and I've moved that into Outsource Accelerator now.
What were those lessons though? Because like for me, I wrote like a blog. No, I wrote a blog when my first startup PartyFile died.
Mm.
Just to document it.
Mm.
Because eventually people will forget. I mean, I will forget, especially when you're at the highs, or at the peaks and whatnot. Everything's like, yeah, I'm the man, whatever, right? But it's actually the lows that define you. And those are the ones that really make you or break you.
Yeah, right?
And if you move past it, and if you don't forget what those are and whatnot, for you, when City Mark closed down, what was that journey like to go back up and now put Outsource itself? What are the lessons first and how did you get back up?
Yeah, I mean, look, I actually wrote a blog as well, an article on Quora, and that went a little bit viral about my journey.
I'll put that in the show notes.
And it's super tough, you know, but what I found is that actually the 18 months, the sort of 12 months leading up to it was really friggin' tough because I was doing everything to rescue this business. I was pivoting, I was selling all of my other assets, putting the money in,
man.
You know, sort of scrapping around. And what I actually learned, one of the lessons at that point is that some of the struggling businesses are maybe the most efficient businesses out there. If you're making a ton of money, a ton of profits, you don't actually need to be that efficient. Whereas some of the ones that are struggling, they have stripped back everything. You know, they are highly efficient businesses, but a little bit like Kodak Nokia, maybe they're just now the wrong business in the wrong time. And, you know, we saw a lot of margin compression happen throughout that process. And we unfortunately just had a heavy, big platform because we were sort of going the Silicon Valley route in that we were trying to build a platform to have about 1,000 properties on, and we got to 200, so we didn't have those efficiencies.
On a personal note, what were your lessons, though? I mean, I'm pretty sure there's always, like for me, I'm a better version of myself now.
Yeah.
I was an idiot back then. I'm still an idiot now, but I'm a better idiot now.
Yeah.
Right? What was that for you? Because those are the things that really, like, you wear that on your sleeve. And once you get over that hump that, you know what, the biggest burden is when you fucking like and you realize and you accept that I fucked up, I failed.
Yeah.
And of course, when you do that, you introspect like how did that lead to here? For you, how did that happen?
Yeah, I mean, I take absolute responsibility for this, and I can say, the market changed and there's margin compression, but you know, I'm at the helm and I take absolutely responsibility because I am the decision maker and I'm at the top of the pyramid. You know, what did I learn? I mean, I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to, you know, and I've learned, and I think you learn this with age as well, but also being through businesses, being through failures, you learn to be more conservative, which I think is maybe both a good thing and a bad thing. You learn to, you know, take profits. This isn't all just about building this big business. beast of a machine. It's about making something that works, that's sustainable, and is a strong...
And you bootstrapped it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That was tough. I mean, even if you have VC money and people are like, yeah, we made it. We got funded. Like, no, you did not.
Yeah.
Because all that can go away in months if you don't know how to fucking handle that.
Yeah,
and that happened to me. It was the dumbest shit and whatnot. But yeah, naivete. I was a first time founder before.
Right.
This wasn't your first startup before, right?
No, I mean I built a property portfolio before, and I was doing property development and things like that. You know, and it's definitely. I don't want to celebrate failure like they do a little bit in the US. I think it should still be, you don't want to go down the failure route. So I think everyone should aim for the moon, and it shouldn't be too glorified by saying, you know, I've had six failures. But you definitely learn a huge amount by going through the hardships in life. And I reckon if you've had two or three businesses that have just succeeded and you've sold, then you're in for a big fall potentially, because you've just had a lot of lucky poker hands, and then I think you can potentially take the world for granted.
Absolutely. Now, bouncing back. All right. So City of Mark, I mean, on a personal note, again, this is where we do a hustle share. How did you now take all those things that you didn't want to do again?
Yeah.
To launch Outsource Accelerator, because you guys have so many things here. What were those tricks to bounce back? Because it's never easy.
Yeah.
You're battling with your own self. Doubt creeps in. If you were a confident mofo before, now you're no. That is like, oh shoot. Now I'm hesitating and whatnot. How did you overcome that? And what were those key things that put you right back on track?
Yeah, I mean, the ego takes a hit, obviously. Mm-hmm. You've got to redefine yourself and rediscover your purpose. The year leading up to the closure was really, really tough. When it closed, I actually felt freer than ever, because I had sort of unloaded that that weight, that obligation, all of the hard work. And then within a week or two, my creative juices had returned, and I started to get super excited again about the next journey. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, I've now been in business about 20 years, so I take all of these lessons and I've put them into Outsource Accelerator. And, you know, very specifically, I saw from the other side, the hotel industry, how powerful the platforms were, like Airbnb and Agoda at Booking.com, in promoting the industry. And effectively, what all of the hotels do is they're effectively outsourcing their sales to these platforms, to Booking.com and Agoda and things like that.
That's like Trivago is like doing it. Trivago is like making it rain on any cable TV and whatnot.
Absolutely. And, you know, these guys are just eating up the market. And that makes sense, because they specialize in sales while the hotels specialize in operating and delivering the service. And so I took that model from hotels into the outsourcing industry, saying that these guys have got a really hard job ahead of them. You know, they're small, medium, big size BPOs, but they really need to concentrate on delivery of the service, and we can go out there, specialize in promotion and sales, and get them their clients.
Got it. Awesome. Now, I'm curious, because at the end of the day, we're not a one-man team, right? What's your strategy in building a team in terms of what it... Because you're always... You're basically selling teams here to people, right?
Yeah,
but for you,
yeah.
You have to be the prime example of how you build a team.
Yeah.
How do you build yours? And what's your strategy in making one?
Yeah, look, people are people. So there's so many... It's multifaceted and it's incredibly difficult. I think the basics apply in terms of treating people well, having a common purpose, common values, a visible mission that everyone is bought into.
Right.
You know, and I'm certainly no expert. I've now hired maybe 200 people in my in my career. With Outsource Accelerator, I'm very lucky to have some of the team that I had from my previous business. So I've been working alongside them now for the last maybe 6 years.
Okay.
But it's, look, everyone's great. But it's just about finding their mission, their values, and hopefully aligning with the mission and values of the company.
Absolutely. Now, What do you see? I want to see it. It looks, it's a mixed bag at the moment, because especially outsourcing here in the Philippines relies heavily on a lot of factors. You know, talent is one. So talent, of course, there's never going to be running out, because we have a very young population. We've become experts on this and whatnot. What do you think is next for outsourcing here in the Philippines, and what's something what we're not seeing, aside from, again, outsourcing to or selling to SMEs or small and medium-sized businesses in the West? What do you think is the outsourcing industry going into? Is it dystopian, or are we looking at a brighter future ahead?
No, look, I'm definitely an optimist, and certainly an optimist for Philippine outsourcing and the Philippines generally. The Philippines doesn't realize the incredible opportunity they have with this sector. You know, as you mentioned, it's a young population, it's a highly educated population, they all speak English incredibly. And outsourcing is going to hit the second wave, where there's another 35 million small and medium-sized businesses in the world that are going to start outsourcing soon. We just need to connect those two. We need to make people more aware of outsourcing, more comfortable with the concept of outsourcing, and get Philippines on the map. And I really believe that this industry, through globalization, will be, you know, 30, I mean, it's a big claim, but I believe that this will really potentially 30x over the next 20 years.
30x,
and,
wow.
You know, it's a game changer for the Philippine economy. And, you know, it's not, we'll eventually move away from this concept of outsourcing, and it will just be referred to as globalized employment.
Absolutely.
You know, when you think everyone's now on Skype and Slack and, you know, messaging and chatbots. It's irrelevant where people are sitting now. And that is an incredible opportunity for the Philippines to shine. Because if you're qualified, if you can do a good job at something, then you can get a job on Wall Street by sitting in your own barangay in some province in the Philippines.
Yeah.
The opportunities are leveling out now.
How do you make sure we realize that future, though? Because it's easy. I mean, we see the light, but we're in the tunnel.
Mm.
And again, there's a lot of turmoil and possible wrong moves that can put us one step forward, five steps back in what we're doing. What do you think, from your perspective, do we need to do to maintain that we realize that vision or that bright future, and we don't go the other side of the tunnel where it goes back to hell?
Yeah, look, no one is going to give anyone a job for free. People have got to be well-trained. People have got to be good at what they do. They've got to be the best at what they do. So, you know, you've always got to educate, better yourself. There's got to be the best outsourcing industry in the Philippines, in the world. You know, the Philippines has to be careful that it doesn't lose this to Vietnam, to Eastern Europe, to India. And it needs to continue to build this industry. But I don't want to scare people. It's doing incredibly well at what it's doing.
Right.
But it needs to continue along that path of education and going up the value ladder. And, you know, IBPAP, the government is all doing a fantastic job at this. But people, like anything, need to try hard and continue along that progression.
All right. Thank you, Derek. And again, for people that you want to, or for companies, let's talk, or companies or any SME that might be listening to this podcast at the moment, how do they do that, and where do they go?
Yeah, anyone, just take a look at the website, get involved. It is outsourceaccelerator.com, and anyone can reach out to me, which is Derek@outsourceaccelerator.com.
All right. Thanks, Derek, and appreciate you being here.
Thanks, Ron.
You.
Okay, that was me being interviewed by Ron Batong of the Hustle Share podcast. Hope you enjoyed that. If you want any of the show notes, of course, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/243. And as always, if you want to ask us anything, then just drop us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.